was I gave the best years of my life to that company. And they just turned me out on the street. They just came in one day and said, we don't need you anymore. What he forgot was that week after week, the eagle flew, remember? Paychecks rolled in. Every hour that he spent for that company, he got something in return, yes? He gave himself. But he did not give himself for that company. He gave himself for what that company could pay him. They paid him out of their earnings. They paid him out of their profits. They paid him out of their income. They paid. Our text is in the 6th chapter of Matthew, verse 19, 20, and 21. Jesus is speaking here, talking about material things. And he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. We heard it earlier. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I cannot really tell you how to have more treasure on earth. I have some ideas. You can take a second job. You can put your wife to work. You can have a payroll savings plan with your employer so they take money away from you before you ever get your hands on it. Those are practical things. Those are ways that you can have treasure on earth. The greatest invention of mankind, in my opinion, is compound interest. If I'd have just started saving $10 a week, every week when I first got married, and just letting the interest compound on those weekly investments, not very much, but if I'd have just let it keep building up and building up, I'd be a rich man today. Needless to say, I didn't do that. But that's how you get treasure on earth. You go to college, you get an education, you get training, specialized training, so that you'll be able to demand a higher paying job, and then you manage your income better, and you can have earthly treasure. But I'm going to tell you something this morning that we don't think often about, but we ought to, and that is that every one of us, almost everybody in the sound of my voice in your lifetime has earned more than $1 million. If you're my age or anywhere close to it and you've been working all these years, you have earned hundreds of thousands of dollars. I always thought I was poor. I always considered myself poor in the early days of my married life, the early days of my ministry. I look back, there were years that literally I didn't make anything for preaching. Somebody said that's the only time in your life you ever paid what you were worth. In those days, I considered myself poor. I look back now, however, all of those years added together, all of the things that God poured into my life, God blessed me with hundreds of thousands of dollars of treasure. All that I have left to show for that's a little bit of a retirement account and a little bit of Social Security, and thank God for those. But I want to tell you something. I have another account. I said, I have another account. Nobody can audit it. Nobody can lay their hands on it. No moth, no thief, no rust. Nothing can violate that treasure because it's laid up on the other side. Paul said to the Ephesian brethren, that last time he preached to them in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 35, he said, I've showed you all things. How that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The only thing that I've really got left is what I have given away. Amen? The only thing that I've really got that's durable and going to last is that which I have given away. That's the thing that Jesus tried to show the rich man who came to him in the 10th chapter of Mark, begging to be allowed to follow Jesus. And Jesus gave him a starting point. He started out by telling him what he would have to do to have treasure in heaven. Verse 21 of Mark 10, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Don't you like that passage? Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He was a sharp young man. I mean, he was the kind of guy you would love to have as a follower, as a friend, as a supporter. He was a fine young man. Jesus looked at him and loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. If you really want to have value, Jesus said, if you really want to have spiritual treasures, sell what you have. Get disconnected from all of those burdens and responsibilities. How many of you know that a job and an income and a business can be a burden? And turn you into a workaholic, turn you into a seven-day-a-week man. It'll turn you into a person that your kids don't know, that your wife will begin to wonder what in the world has happened to you. How did you change so drastically? That's what the burdens and responsibility of work and occupation can do to you. Jesus loved this man because he saw that he was all burdened down with what he called the cares of this life. And he said, if you really want to have treasure in heaven, go get rid of all of these things, give it away, and come and follow me. I want to say this morning that every one of us have treasure. Every one of us have treasure. The only real difference between us, the only distinctions among us, is how we keep our treasure. I was visiting with a man in my church and his family one time, and while we were waiting on the meal to be prepared, excuse me, he said, come outside, Pastor, I want to show you my treasure. We opened the back door, walked out on the patio into his backyard, and right there was another house. It had roofing and shingles and doors and electricity. It had air conditioning and heat. It was his aviary. He had hundreds of birds in this little house right behind his house. I mean, he had spent some big bucks to build this thing. He had homing pigeons. He had racing pigeons. He had budgies. He had parakeets. He had all kinds of birds. He raised them. He raced them. He sold them. Every once in a while, he even ate one of them. They were his treasure. He had money invested in them. That's what he did. He enjoyed those birds. I thought they stunk to high heaven. Wow. How in the world do you stand to come here? That's what I wanted to say. How in the world do you stand to come in this place? It stinks so bad. But it was his treasure. It's kind of like some of you, you know, you go off somewhere, deer hunting or traveling up in the hill country, and you come back into Pasadena and Deer Park, and out here on Highway 225, you begin to choke all up. Your head clogs up. Your throat gets raw, and somebody says, ooh, what is that smell? And you have learned to say, oh, that's the smell of money. Money's dirty. Money stinks. Treasure has a way of developing a foul odor, especially if it's not a treasure to you. There's a man in this church who will remain nameless, who also has a small house behind his house. And in his second house, he has his treasure. He's got bunches of tractors in this house. He's got John Deere's in this house. I don't know how many. I'd be afraid to say, and I'm already in trouble because I brought it up probably, but I'm not going to tell you who he is. But his treasure is collecting replicas and miniatures of John Deere tractors. Every once in a while, a brand new one comes out. He gets it. He brings it by here to show me. This is the latest one. He is so proud of his John Deere tractor. I like that a lot better than birds. For one thing, you don't have to feed them. For another thing, they always smell new. They're collector's items. They're miniatures. They are expensive. I have a preacher friend who collects little, I don't even know what you call them. They're just little miniatures of people. And there's a name for them, the happy people or the some kind of people. He's got everyone that's ever been made. If one comes out, he's on the mailing list. They notify him when a new one of these miniatures comes out. He's got every one of them. I said, what in the world are you going to do with all this stuff? Because he's about my age. He said, when I get ready to retire, I'm going to sell them and live off the profit. Treasure. Treasure worth lots of money. We all have treasure stored away somewhere. I hope you have some earthly treasure. I really do. I don't believe God is against you having a treasure house on earth or having investments on the earth or having something set aside. But what a disappointment it's going to be if we turn out like that barn-building rich fool who, when he had more than he had place to store, said, what am I going to do with all this that I have? And then he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build bigger barns, and I'll put all of my treasure in there. And I will say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. You have much goods laid up for many years. That night, he was called in for an audit. Not by the IRS, not by his accountant, but by God himself, who evaluated him in two words when he said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then who shall all these things be? He was telling him all of his treasure was in barns on the earth. And when he stepped into eternity, none of those treasure houses were going to benefit him at all. How do we lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven? How do we do it? How do we get from being spiritual paupers and heavenly paupers or eternal paupers to being rich in the things of God? Well, let me tell you some things first. I want you to understand, nobody is going to be able to lay up treasure for you. Your daddy may be able to leave you his earthly estate, but he cannot leave you his spiritual estate. Your mama may be able to leave you her china and her flatware and her furniture, but she cannot leave you her spiritual treasure. That is beyond her ability. Nobody is going to lay up treasure in heaven for you. Three things I would tell you real quick. Number one, there will be no heavenly treasure for the disobedient. If God's word says to do something and I don't do it, then I will have no treasure. In fact, Jesus said, what I do have will be taken from me and given to another. The second thing that we must understand before we can lay up treasure, we have to understand, I cannot receive God's promise without being a giver. I can receive salvation. I can receive the Holy Spirit. I can even receive divine healing. But I cannot receive heavenly treasure. I cannot lay up heavenly treasure unless I am a giver. That's what Jesus told the rich man. That's what God told that barn builder. That's what God says to every one of us. If we do not give, we will not receive. Because with the same measure that we give, God is going to give to us according to the Bible. If you believe that, say amen. And then a third thing, before I get started on my outline, number three, giving is the means of transmittal for heavenly treasure. I don't understand all the mysteries of technology, but I know I can send money from my bank account to any bank in the world if I can get the account number of the bank and if I can get the routing number of that bank. I can send money. I've sent money to Poland. I've sent money to Germany. I've sent money to other places in the United States just simply by knowing the right numbers and being able to put them in heathen in the right place. I can transmit money from out of my accounts into somebody else's account. Now, no dollars ever change hands. There's not some little guy who gets on a motorcycle and races off up to Des Moines and take my money so he can get into that account. It's done magically, mysteriously, and through technology. Now, I'm asking you, if man can do that, don't you think God can transmit our giving investments from earth to heaven? It's the way of transmittal. Every time you give to your brother, your sister, to a needy person, or to the work of God, you are transmitting treasure from earth to heaven. Giving is the means of transmittal for heavenly treasure. How God blesses us every day is so natural and yet transcendent that it seems to be unnoticeable to us. We pray, we go to church, we live for God, we pay our tithes, we give an offering, and without even realizing it, God is shielding us and blessing us and protecting us and providing for us. And he does it so wonderfully that we think we did it ourselves. Huh? Well, you know, Lord, I worked for that money. God, I know folks who worked just as hard as you did and didn't get near as much. Oh, let's don't take God for granted. Let's just don't assume that natural blessings come to us through natural means. If you're a child of God, I want you to know God blesses you with money. He blesses you with food. He blesses you with a house. He blesses you with clothes. You may say, oh, no, preacher, I've got the receipts. Yeah, but I want to tell you, God's got another set of receipts. Amen. God blesses us supernaturally through the natural. Think about this. Take a kernel of corn this spring. Go out in your flower bed or garden in the backyard and dig yourself a little hole and put that kernel of corn. Don't bury it too deep, you know, just about inch and a quarter, inch and a half. Water it and let a little sun shine on it. Let the earth begin to warm. And after a while, the crust of the earth will break open and a yellow kernel of corn will pop out. Oh, no, preacher, that's not the way it works. You put a yellow kernel of corn in the ground and you water it and you watch it for a while. And what comes out there is a little old bitty green leaf. It soon grows into a stalk. It's got a dozen or so leaves that grow off of that, and it begins to tassel out, and alongside the stalk, you know, that's gotten up about so high, by summertime, there'll begin some little old ears growing on there. That's what we call them. They'll soon have silk on the end of them. You wait long enough, they'll get ripe. You can pull one of them off. You can pull the silk off, and you start peeling back those husks, and what have you got under there? You've got hundreds of kernels of corn. Didn't look anything like corn when it came out of the ground. What you plant and what you get doesn't always look like the same thing. Amen? When I plant material things into the work of God, I get back spiritual treasures, and sometimes I don't even recognize that God's the one who blessed me with all of these things. How do we give? How do we give so as to guarantee treasure in heaven? Now we're going to get down to the outline that you have in your hand. I'm going to tell you five things right out of the Bible that tells us how we can have treasure in heaven as a result of our giving. God's requirements for my giving are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Number one, if I want to give so that I will have treasure in heaven, if I want to meet God's requirements for my giving must be regularly. I must give regularly. Every one of us, the Bible says, upon the first day of the week. Have you noticed every week has a first day? There's not just a first day the first week of the month. There's a first day of every week of the month. Some months are especially blessed for preachers and churches because they got five Sundays in them. They got five first days of the week, five opportunities for God's people to give. You say, oh, but preacher, I only get paid once a month, so I just give once a month. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says lay up treasure every week upon the first day of the week. Well, I don't owe any more than once a month, preacher. If I get paid once a month, I only owe once a month. We're not talking about what you owe. We're talking about your investment program. We're not talking about laying up treasure in heaven. You know what? I think the guy who pays his tithes down to the penny is going to have a skinny account in heaven. Now listen, I'd rather have a guy who pays his tithes down to the penny than one who kind of is half-hearted and haphazard about giving back to God. You ought to have a regular plan, but you know what? You ought to give every week. You want God to bless you every week, don't you? Not just the first week of the month or the 15th of the month or the last of the month. You want God to bless you every week. I believe that's why the Bible says on the first day of the week. Listen to me. We're not talking about paying your bill to God now. We're talking about giving in such a manner as to have treasure in heaven. Every time they take up an offering, I like to give something in it. Hello? Oh, well, I gave. You know, we're kind of like people with the United Way. I gave in the office. I gave the first Sunday of the month. Don't bother me. I've done my part. We're not talking about doing your part. We're talking about laying up treasure in heaven. Do you know God watches what you give? I said, do you know God watches what you give? If you don't believe it, go over there in the book of Acts and read the story about Cornelius. The Lord came to him, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, God has been paying attention to your alms. God's been watching your giving, and therefore he's going to send somebody who's going to give you the message you're hungry for. That's the way God works. He knows that a person who gives on a regular basis has a tender heart toward God. Some of us wonder why we haven't been blessed in 100 years, because we haven't been generous in 100 years. Oh, aren't you glad you came today? Don't you wish you'd have waited till next week? Excuse me. Number two, if I want to meet God's requirement for my giving, I believe that giving has got to be done universally. That second verse says, let every one of you. There are no exceptions here. Somebody said, well, my daddy pays tithes. He's paid tithes all of his life. That's wonderful. My daddy's a giver. My daddy gives everything they bring up at the church. Oh, thank God for your daddy. I wish some of him would have rubbed off on you. You're not going to be covered by his heavenly receipt. You are not going to be covered by his generosity. There is a place for everybody to give. I believe the cause of the spiritual weakness, the greatest cause of the spiritual weakness in the church today, is this attitude that we have of let George do it. In the Assemblies of God way back, I think, in the 60s, we had a campaign called Let George Do It. And we identified everybody in the church as George. We don't have that attitude today, you know. Well, there's somebody who'll pick up the slack. There's somebody, if things get a little tight, they'll give some extra. They'll bail it out. Let George do it. My friend, let's quit sitting around waiting on Brother Moneybags to come through and bail the church out. Let's just give on a regular basis every week. Every one of us do our part. I use air conditioning every week. I use a parking space every week. When the wintertime, I sure want to make sure somebody's got that furnace running back there so my kids and grandkids won't be freezing to death when they get into Sunday school and children's church. I sure do like padded chairs. That's so much better than the way it used to be. I like carpet. I like soft lighting. I like good music. I like everything. And I know somebody will pay for it. Somebody will pick up the tab. It's kind of like going to Kroger, getting in the checkout line. standing behind somebody who's got a money card. And as they're putting their groceries up there on the counter, you just put your groceries up there with them, slide them through, thinking that somehow they're going to pay for your groceries and then you can bag them up and take them home. Some of us go to church every week and we got our bag full of blessing. We enjoy our share of air conditioning, parking space. Some of you are here in three cars today. Do you know that? Thank God we've got ample parking spaces. You'd be parking out on the street somewhere. We're all enjoying the blessings, and we're hoping that Brother Moneybags will just get out his money card and cover it all for us, and we won't have to worry about it. I don't know who Brother Moneybags is. I've been waiting to meet him. But I found out reality is it's all our responsibility. All of us are responsible. So many people got excited with us at the beginning of this moving project. They made commitments. They stood around these altars with us and told the Lord, this is my church. I'm going to support this project. They said, oh yeah, go ahead, spend the money. They voted in the business meeting, spend the money, do it. Some of them aren't here anymore. One couple came by to see me one day to tell me they were leaving. I wish you could have been a fly on the wall. I said, what in the world are you talking about? You can't leave. You made a promise to God. You made a promise to me. You stood right down there at that altar and told me you was going to stay in here and support this, to go ahead and do it, and you're behind it all the way, and now you're just going to pick up and go somewhere. Oh, no. Oh, they were so shocked that anybody talked to them like that. Let me tell you something, friend. When you make a promise to God and to the preacher, you better keep it. Ooh, say his tenure's short now. He wouldn't have said that 6 months ago. That's right. Bible says there's no place in heaven for liars. Some of us have made promises to God that we haven't kept. Somehow we just think nobody will notice and God will forget about it. I said something smart-alecky to a lady not long ago on the phone, just in jest. And I was talking to her again one day this week, and she reminded me of that. She said, I'm an elephant. I don't forget nothing. You say something about me, I'm going to remember it. I'm not going to forget it. We had a good laugh over it, but you know, that's the way God is. God has a better memory than an elephant. He remembers everything we tell him. Sometimes we come bawling and squalling back to God. Oh, Lord, bail me out. Help me. Oh, God, save my kids. They're in rebellion. They're not going to church. They're not doing this. And, oh, God, you got to help me. You got to rescue me. And I think every once in a while it would just be so profitable if the Lord would just open up the books of heaven and let us look on there all those times we said, yeah, I'm going to give, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to back the work of God, I'm going to stand in there with the preacher and the leader. But the first time we didn't like something, we forgot our promise. What a lot of people say when they make promises to God and to the church is what they're really saying, as long as I want to, Lord, but when I get tired or bothered or feel like maybe I'm unappreciated, then I'll just go somewhere else. Friend, we're not making commitments down here so that we will be liked on earth or appreciated by anybody down here. We are making our commitment to God. We are laying up treasure on the other side, and everybody fits in the same program. There are no exceptions. I want to tell you, this preacher or no other preacher can do it by himself. I've had people ask me, well, preacher, what you going to do next? And I want to say, what are you going to do? I've done, and I've done, and I've done. What are you going to do? Somebody once one time said to me, well, I just don't understand why people don't give more of the church. I know they were talking to me. I wanted to get my giving receipt out. I wanted to compare. Say, preacher, you're getting awful bold. Now, I understand that. But I want to tell you, friend, we are all in this together. Somebody says, well, you know, preacher, when you leave, I'm out of here. Shame on you. May the Spirit of the Lord rebuke you for such an attitude. My friend, we made commitments to God. Let's don't just give up on them. Let's say, Lord, let's see this thing go for the glory of God. I have no complaints this morning. God has been so good to me. I have no regrets. And I'd do it all over again and then some. Wouldn't you? Thank God. A lot of folks around here felt the same urgency I have. They've given beyond their tithes. They've given generously, and God has blessed them. And that's why we're where we are today. Now let's see what God can do that's even greater. Amen. Others, however, have been riding on the wagon that somebody else has been pulling. And all they can do is complain because the wagon doesn't go any faster. They have their reward. They got a nice home. They got a nice car, a couple of them, in fact. They got a boat. They got lots of stuff. But their kids are worldly, submitting to peer pressure and getting ready to marry unbelievers, and they can't figure out what's wrong. They forget they have their treasure. We will really never know the potential of this church until we have universal giving. Well, let's just carry it a little farther. Number three, our giving must be corporate giving. Giving corporately. The week, let every one of you lay by him in store. The key words here are in store. Where else can you give the money that God has blessed you with and be personally involved in the distribution of that money? I want to tell you again, there's a cause that you're concerned about. We're probably already supporting that cause. Don't send it off to that television ministry and let them spend 50 or 60 cents of your dollar on administration and promotion and travel, and only 40 or 50 cents of your dollar actually get there to do what you want it to. We've told you before, if you give it here, 100% of it goes to do the work. We don't keep back a nickel or a dime or 50 cents or any other part of it. Somebody told me one time they were sending money off to Larry Jones to feed the children. Now, he does a great job. But you know, one of the biggest children feeders in the world today is the Assemblies of God Missions. And if you want to feed children, we have a program called Feed the Children. If you give $100 to feed the children, $100 of it will go to feed the children. There's nowhere else you can do that. You sure can't do it through the United Way. You cannot do it through any other program outside of your church. And all of us working together can give and do so much more than all of us separately could ever do. And I'm going to tell you, this church honors God's word and operates by its principles. Not a nickel of our money goes to support abortion. Not a nickel of our money goes to support Hollywood or this godless culture in any way. We have absolutely no relationship with the World Council of Churches. Not one nickel that you give will ever go through the ACLU. Everything that you give will go directly into the work of God. I don't even support the United Way anymore. They will not support a Christian cause. When they made that clear, I told my wife when she was working where they supported it, no more. No more. If they want support what God supports, I don't want to give them a nickel because I know they support abortion. I know they support distributing condoms in our schools. I won't give them a nickel to do that. I'm going to give to God. I'm going to lay up treasure on the other side. I'll say it again. God's money does not belong in the mail. It belongs in the offering plate right here where every cent of it can go to do the work of God and bring glory to His name. Corporate giving, all of us together, can cause things to happen that any of us separately will never get done. What's good preaching, preacher? Number four, proportionately, as God has prospered him. I want to tell you again, this church, we don't want you to give anything that you don't have. I've been in some of these churches where people have been encouraged to mortgage their home, to borrow money at the bank to give, pay interest on it so they can give something to the church. I want to tell you right now, before God and man, don't do it. Don't let anybody talk you into mortgaging your home or going to the bank to borrow money that you don't have to give to God. That's not scriptural. God doesn't tell us to give money we don't have. He tells us to give out of the things that He has prospered us with. And anybody who tells you it's okay to go in debt to give has not studied the principles of this book. God does not want you to give what you don't have. But what you do have, part of it, should go to God. Now, we ask for money. I don't get up here and ask money for me, but I'm not embarrassed to get up here and ask people to give to mission, to give for revival, to give to put a sign out on the street, to give to do the work of God. When I ask you to give, I promise you I'm going to give some to go with it. I'm not just going to say do as I say, but I'm saying to you, do as I do. Here's something worth supporting. Give. People go through the membership class here, they're told right up front, we're going to talk about money. If that bothers you, you probably want to go to church somewhere else. We may take up a couple of offerings in a service. Somebody said, oh, I hate to see people take up offerings. Yeah, I hate to take them up too, but I sure do love to give in them. I love to participate in them. It's an act of worship. Sure it is. Amen. So we will ask for money. But just remember this. Don't forget, I said this in the bulletin last week. It's God's money. It's just in your pocket. We have enough money to pay all of our bills. We have enough money to pay off all of our obligations. The bad news is it's in your pocket. God's not broke. God's not poor. If I could turn all of you upside down this morning, shake you till everything you had fell out on the floor, we could cover the floor with money. Oh, yeah, you say, no, preacher, I haven't got nothing. Yeah, I'm talking about if I get into all your pockets, not just the ones you're wearing. If I could get into all of your pockets, my, it'd be amazing how much there is here. You know whose money that is? Somebody says, oh, yeah, that's my money. No. Every nickel of it's God's. You got it from Him. He's just letting you use it. And all He asks is that you give Him a portion back. How do I figure that out, preacher? How do I figure how much I should give? Well, the first lesson you got to learn, before you give anything, you've got to tithe. If you give less than a tithe, you haven't given anything, because that's God. He said, the tithe is mine. It's holy unto the Lord. It belongs to Him. What's a tithe, preacher? Well, you know, early on I learned how to do this. It's so simple. Let me tell you, all you got to do is just move a decimal point and you'll know what a tithe is. You got $100, you know, you write it out, 100, decimal point, 00. How much is a tithe on that? Well, you just move a decimal point one space over toward the dollar sign and you knock off 10 at the end, and a tithe is $10 on $100. Oh, well, that's easy enough. Man, I can give $10. Works the same way on $1,000. 100.00. Just move it over one space toward the dollar sign, and now it's 100.00, and a tithe on $1,000 is $100. Oh, yeah, but preacher, you know, I had to take out for that income tax and you know, that Social Security and Medicare. No. Let's start off with what God gave us. And Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's. We move the decimal point too late, some of us. And we move the decimal point indiscriminately, some of us. And we forget that the whole $100 or the whole $1,000 is God's. and only ask that we just move the decimal point over one place and give him 10%. Well, you know what? I will pay $10 to get $90. I'll make that deal all day long. Anybody here wants to make it? I got a $10 bill right now. Boy, I'll just get it out. I'll give you my 10. You give me your 100. And that's a wonderful deal. And that's the deal God makes with me. Can't beat it. God has prospered us, friend. And tithing is the basis for obedience and beginning to lay up treasure in heaven. Give back as he has prospered you. And then once you've taken care of that, then you can start giving. I said, once you move that decimal point over and give God his tithe, then you can start giving. You'll discover the joy of giving to missions. You'll discover the joy of giving in Sunday school. You'll discover the joy of giving to the building program. You'll discover the joy of giving to the pastor. Well, I won't go too far with that. I'll just go to number five. We've got to give spiritually. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Paul knew some people waited to give to the person. They had to be private. Well, when Paul gets here, I'll give. When Paul shows up and takes up the offering, well, then I'll give. Paul said, don't wait until I give. Start giving regularly. Start giving on a weekly basis. Lay by in store. Do it now so that when I come, I won't have to scold you about giving. I enjoy my giving so much, because Nita and I have worked it all out ahead of time. From the first of the year, we sit down and we decide what we're going to give each week. And that check is written out ahead of time. Number one, before anything else. It's already written out. We don't even argue about it, thank God. We don't even talk about it anymore. We made a commitment. This is what we're going to do. Now, that's just our regular check. Then we get to talk about special offerings. You know, we're going to have a guest tonight. This afternoon, before we come back to church, Nita will say, okay, how much you want to give in the offering tonight? Well, sometimes I don't know yet. Sometimes I do. I'll tell her. We agree on an amount, and we're ready to give that. You know, when you get like that, it does not bother you to write a check for $50 instead of $10. Some of us have a nominal amount. We just, oh, well, it's $10, you know. Thank you, Sister Harbaugh, for the $7.50 for Christmas. I'm so blessed. But some of them, she backed it up with a nicer check. Isn't that sweet? She just wanted to get my attention. But some of us have got this set pattern. You know, I'll give $7. Every time there's a special offering, I'll give $7. I like to be able to talk about it, think about it, pray about it, say, Lord, what can I give? I'm talking about laying up treasure in heaven. This is what I'm going to sum it all up by saying this morning. I have found out by looking at God's principles in reverse, if I am stingy with God, he will be stingy with me. I think I tell you on that piece of paper, you cannot outgive God. But you can close the window of God's blessing in your life by not giving to him. By not giving to him. And remember this, when God blesses you, it's not an angel that suddenly steps out in front of you on the way to work tomorrow and hands you an extra gift. It's not your rich uncle dying and leaving you $1 million that God does. You know what he does? He keeps you from getting fired. Thank God you don't work for Enron. Sorry about that, Daryl. Thank God you've still got a job. Amen? God has all kinds of ways of blessing, but he cannot bless if we don't give, because he says in his word, you try me. You put me to the test on this and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing that you cannot even receive. Won't have room enough for all of you. If you want to lay up treasure in heaven, our altar call is going to be that piece of paper today. I want you to get your pen out. Now listen, you're not going to turn this in to anybody. And even if you don't go to this church, you still ought to engage in this process with us. If you go to another church, your pastor is going to pat me on the back when he sees me. Thank you, Pastor, for preaching that sermon when my folks were over there visiting in your church. But what I preached is laid out for you there on that piece of paper. Down at the bottom, there's an opportunity for you and your wife and your family, whoever there is of you, to participate in this invitation this morning. I want you to look at the bottom portion of this page. I've got it, so I'll get it right. First of all, there's a blank there that says, I'm going to begin tithing my income to the Lord through my church. Some people need to check that one. If you're one of those who has not begun yet to tithe, check that box right now. Just mark it down. Say, Lord, this is the year. I'm going to start. You can't make up for all those years that you have been negligent, but you can start today. You can change the record from this point forward. If you're not a tither, begin today. Just check in and say, I'm going to begin tithing my income to the Lord through my church. I challenge you to do it and see if God will not keep his word and open the windows of heaven. The second blank says, I'm presently a tither and I'm asking God to enlarge my faith as I begin to give beyond my tithe. Could you do that? Got your pen out? Come on. We're not going anywhere till we get this exercise done. This is the test. This is the invitation. This is where the rubber meets the road. Say, preacher, it's not anybody's business but mine. That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't want this piece of paper. You're not going to turn it in. It's just between you and God. I'm presently a tither. If you're already in that category, go ahead and check it anyway. I'm already a tither, and I've already enlarged mine. But, Lord, I'm going to keep on doing it. Just check that box. The third one. I'm trusting God to enable me to give blank dollars each month above my tithe for the general fund. Now I am at that time in my tenure where I can tell you, folks, we've got to get serious about meeting some obligations. This has been a very difficult year for us, but I'm going to tell you at the end of the year, praise God, we have been able to pay every obligation, meet every bill. Thank God for that. But we have things facing us. It's going to take some extra giving to get it done. You know, maybe you could give an extra 10 or 15 or 20 or 25 or 100 or 200 a month to help your church. I say it's seed money. I believe in that principle. I believe if you and I would invest an extra $100 a month, if we were able to do it, it's to meet the needs of the church beyond our regular giving. I believe it's the kind of expression of faith that God can honor, and he can send some folks along to help us. We not only need to meet this need, we need to expand. There are things we need to do for God. But we're not able to do that on our present level of giving and income. So maybe you can do extra. Maybe this is the time. You're just like, this is a faith promise. You're going to say, the Lord, with your help. This is not a pledge, God, but with your help, I'm going to do my best to find my way somehow to be able to give an extra 100 or whatever number the Lord lays on your heart. And then let's not forget about missions. That's the final box. I won't have a chance this year to challenge you to make a commitment to missions beyond this. If you've been given the missions every month, thank you. Do you know this church has a reputation of being a wonderful missions giving supporting church? Even in the General Council of the Assemblies of God, do you know that we are in the top 2% of all churches in America in giving the missions? I'm talking about in the number of dollars that this church gives every year to missions. We are in the top 2% of the Assemblies of God. I think that's marvelous. Amen. I think we ought to give ourselves a hand. Amen. We're always in there for missions, for Speed the Light, for every one of those categories. We're right in there giving with the best in the Assemblies of God, and I thank God for that. But I don't ever want you to stop and say, well, we've reached our goal. I challenge you. Make a commitment on a monthly basis to missions. We pay $3,000 a month, every month, in regular support of our missionaries around the world. If that money doesn't come in, we still do it. That means we don't have enough sometimes to do the other things we want to do. Sometimes we have to scrape pennies to be able to pay all the obligations, but we're going to take care of our missionaries. We need to. Would you agree with that? All it would take would be all of us just doing a little extra, and all of a sudden we would have more to do the work of God with. We'll wind up some $10,000 in the hole this year for missions. I wish somebody who's way behind on their missions pledge would just write a check this morning for $10,000 and say, there it is, Pastor, we're caught up. The reality is probably they're not any of us, or maybe not many of us anyway, that could write a check for $10,000 and not have it bounce. But You know, I think every one of us could write one for something. And on an ongoing basis, I believe we can open the windows of heaven. Amen. And God will pour out his blessing on this church. Have I preached the truth this morning? You agree with the word of God that you've heard today? Hey, let's put it into play. I want to ask you this morning. Boy, I hate to do this. I know some of you are going to... Well, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I just want to ask you this morning, Pastor, today, you've challenged my heart. I am going to step up. I'm going to meet the challenge. I'm going to do my best to be a tither and a giver and a supporter of the work of God through this church in the year 2000. I want to tell you right now, I'm putting my name on that line. I may be retiring from pastoral ministry, but I'm not retiring from the ministry. And if you will let me, I'm still going to be a supporter of this church. Somebody ought to shout. You'd say, Preacher, I've received the challenge this morning. I'm going to do my best to serve God better financially this year. I'm going to do my best to lay up treasure in heaven. I want you to stand. Whether you're a member of this church or not, we're talking about the kingdom of God. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do my best to make this the best year, laying up treasure in heaven that I've ever had. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Lord, translate this into gifts. Translate this, oh Lord, into treasure in heaven today. Father, we're standing this morning by faith because we don't know what this year holds or what we're going to receive. But Lord, there are no limits to your blessing. We can never outgive you, oh Lord. You have given and given and given and given again, and you continually give. Your word declares that we are loaded daily with your benefits and that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for all of the treasure that you have poured through our lives. And this morning, as we begin this new year for you, we are hereby saying, oh God, we're going to do our best to do better than we have ever done. We're going to take a step of faith to see the windows of heaven open and the blessings of God poured out on our lives. Lord, I pray for those in this service today who have never learned the joy nor the obedience of tithing. Lord, there's a frustration level in their life that can go away if they will become obedient and faithful to the principles of your word. Lord, you can transform their home. You can transform their finances. You can transform their family through your blessing. I pray, O Lord, open the windows of heaven. Pour out your blessings upon your people and strengthen this church through our giving. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name.